Yea, my people, and I would say unto you this day, have not I called thee to be watchman upon my wall? Did not I say, look unto me until the day that I come again? And yea, I say unto you this day that there are many that I have sent my prophets to, but yea, they did not know that they were among them. Yea, they did not recognize them. Yea, they stoned them. Yea, they threw them out. Yea, they martyred them and killed them. But I say unto you this day that I have sent the prophets among you. Think not that because you are of a small stature that I, the Lord thy God, do not see thee. Think not because thou art not bulging at the walls that I, the Lord thy God, am not in this place. For yea, I say unto you, and I have promised in times past, that yea, I would cause this place to grow, and I would cause this place to flourish. And yea, I say unto you, as you see them come, one by one, and two by two, and three by three, yea, know that I, the Lord thy God, am drawing them by my Holy Spirit. Yea, I have set a man among you, yea, one that would lead, and yea, one that would guide you. Yea, I have placed a helpmeet beside of him, and yea, she walketh in two with him. And I say unto you this day, that as they walk forth before you, yea, their leadership doth come from me, saith God. For yea, I have placed my anointing upon them. And yea, I have brought those alongside that would encourage and lift up the arms. Yea, I brought those alongside that would help them in the work that I have called them to do. And I say unto you this day that you shall be a lighthouse unto the Lord thy God. For yea, my light shall shine forth out of thee just as a beacon would shine in a lighthouse. For yea, I am the Lord thy God. Yea, my Holy Spirit does walk up and down to and fro in this place. Yea, I shall speak revelations. Yea, I shall speak unto you of mysteries of old. Yea, I shall teach you the knowledge of my kingdom. Yea, I shall teach you the knowledge of your God. For yea, I say unto you that I am going to break forth on the right, and I am going to break forth on the left. For yea, I have called you to do greater things than you even can imagine at this time. For yea, I shall bring them into this lighthouse. Yea, I shall bring them into this place of refuge. And yea, you shall minister unto them as ministering unto me. For as surely as you've done it to them, you have done it unto me, saith the Lord thy God. So I say unto you this day, be encouraged, my people. Yea, go forth and spread my word. Wherever you might be found, yea, call those unto you that you might say that the Lord thy God is my God, that Jesus Christ is the cornerstone of his church. And yea, he lives and he sits beside the right hand of me this day. And I say unto you, he shall come for my bride in my time. For thou art the bride of Christ. Thou art the one that I am setting forth. Yea, thou art the remnant of the Lord thy God. Yea, be worthy warriors, I say unto you, for you shall find yourself in the ditches and in the foxholes. Yea, you shall find yourselves on the front lines. But yea, know that the Lion of Judah shall go forth before you. Have not I set the captain of the guard in this place? And yea, he shall guide and he shall direct. Wait upon the Lord thy God, and I shall show you, and I shall lead you, and I shall guide you. For surely I am in this place.
Come unto me, all ye that are heavy laden and burdened, and I will give you rest. Come unto me. I am here, and I long for you to come to me and love me. For I long to be loved, and you long to be loved. You have deep within you a void and an emptiness, and you long to look for a man or a woman to love you, but you have not found it, because the love you seek is mine, and it's deep, and I can surround you, and I love you, and I will love you in your house, and I'll love you in this church. This is not the only place, but wherever you walk, wherever you go, wherever you ride, my presence goes with you. You are the one I love, and I want you to love me that way. I'm calling you to a love relationship. I'm calling you to love me, for you've been so empty. You've been so lacking of love. But I have love. The world doesn't know love. It hasn't known love for a long time. It's lost. It's been lost in the world. We don't know what it is. But my love cherishes. My love nurtures. My love surrounds you and gives you freedom. My love is what I want to pour out on you. And I'll pour my oil out in you, and I'll walk in your house. Put away the things of the world. Put away the filth out of your homes. Put away all the worldly things away from you, for I cannot exist with the world. The world is my enemy. Don't you know? Whoever's a friend of the world is an enemy of God. You cannot love the world and love me. I will not share, and I'm a jealous God, and I won't share my love with anybody. And I would just call on you today. Love me, and I will surround you with love. I will give you the longing of your heart, the void, for in my presence is fullness of joy, and in my presence is everything you're looking for. It's freedom and liberty and love. It is all, even your finances, everything. As you live in my glory and you live in my presence, I'll walk and breathe in your house and you'll see the miraculous. For I am a miracle working God, and you will see my splendor and my majesty, for you are my love and I love you with all my heart. Please come unto me and let me love you.
Well, are you ready for the Word of God this morning? Let's say it together. 2 Corinthians 2:14. Now thanks be to God who always leads us in triumph in Christ, and through us diffuses the fragrance of His knowledge in every place. Marvelous, marvelous verse. We started last week a series of Ears to Hear. And I want to continue last week's message this morning. I need to review some. But we shared about a word of the Lord from July the 20th from this year. It said, one of the sentences said, "It is the time when I will gather those who are willing to come to me, those who hear my voice, those who hear my call to respond." Hearing is becoming so important in these latter days. Being able to hear God, being able to discern God, being able to decipher God from all the other voices that you hear. He that has ears to hear, let him hear. Amen? This is what the Lord says seven times in the book of Revelation to the seven different churches. He who has an ear to hear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. So right there, when people say, "Well, I don't believe that God talks to us anymore." Well, right there it says it does, but you've got to have ears to hear. You've got to want to hear. You've got to believe, first of all, God is speaking to you, and then you've got to choose to hear what God is saying. Now, a lot of people, they have this big debate about whether God speaks today, and you can get, I can give you books. I don't have them. I don't own them. I refuse to own them. But I can give you books that tell you God doesn't speak to us anymore today, that God has, like the watchmaker, he has wound us up and he's just letting us go, and he's departed, and when everything's over, he's going to come back and pick up the pieces. Well, at one time I bought into that until I came to John 10. And John 10 says something very interesting. This isn't my message, but this is the intro for it. But John chapter 10, Jesus says a remarkable thing, and it shook me to my core. I was in the ministry when he spoke this to me, but the verse says, Jesus said, "My sheep know my voice." And I asked God a real simple question. How do we know his voice? And just quick, God said, "Because I talk to you." Now think about that. There's preachers all over this world that say, "Well, God doesn't talk to us anymore." The Bible says if you're his sheep, if you belong to him, he talks to you. Now, you've got to choose whether I'm going to believe man or I'm going to believe God. If God's talking and I'm not hearing, then there's something wrong with me. Because, listen, I found out God talks to us. He talks to sinners. Did you know that? He talks to ungodly people. Because the Bible also says, no man can come to the Lord except the Father draw him. Now, if God doesn't have anything to do with sinners, how can God draw sinners? Think about it. If God isn't going to have anything to do with you until you're holy and sanctified and pure and righteous, how do you ever hear God to know that you need him? See, God is working to draw us all the time. And I'll tell you, some sinners hear God better than some Christians. They just don't obey. God's talking to them. I tell you, most of the time when I talk to sinners, they'll tell me, I know I need to be in church. Most Christians, I don't know why I need to go to church. Sinners know they need to be in church. Sinners say, I know I need to pray more. Most Christians say praying is so boring. Most sinners will say, I know I need to live better. And Christians will say, I'm living as good as the next guy. It's like sinners hear God more clearly, and many times I think they have a higher, how do I say this? They have a higher expectation of what a Christian is than what most church members do. Now, don't shout me down, but isn't that true? If you think about it, a sinner will always tell you, well, I can't come to the Lord right now because my life is so messed up. Well, we need to remind them that you can't get your life together until you come to the Lord. But there's many people in church that claim to be Christians that attend church on a regular basis that they have shut God out to where they don't even hear anything about themselves. They boldly come into church, but it's not because of what Christ has done. It's because of their self-righteousness, not God-righteousness. Hello, I'm talking to somebody. So, in Revelation, he says, he that has an ear to hear, let him hear what the Spirit says of the churches. Now, go with me to Matthew 13. We spent some time in this last week, and I'm going to continue in this. But I want you to see these things for yourself. I'm going to start in verse 9. Jesus, not only in Revelation, but in Matthew 13, 9, he says, he who has ears to hear, let him hear. So we need to hear. Now, last week we described to hear is to listen with intensity or purpose. It's to make a quality decision. I am going to hear what God is saying. If you don't make that decision, any old thing can come along and say, well, I don't know if that's God or not God. You know, most of us, we spend so much time talking ourselves out of what we've heard God say to us, and then we say, well, it must not have been God because it went away. Well, think about it this way. Maybe it was God, and because you refused to obey and you argued so much, God said, I'm going to stop contending with you. I'm just going to let you go your own way if you're not going to listen to me. And we say, well, I guess that wasn't the will of God. A lot of times it was. It's just you didn't have ears to hear. Ears to hear is more than hearing God. It is being obedient to what you've heard. It's lining my life up with what God is speaking to me to do the right thing that I already know is right in my heart, but the voice of God is confirming it, and I don't want to do it. So I've got to hear and obey. Amen? You can say amen on that. That's a good one. Matthew 13, 10, the disciples. Now, Jesus is talking about the parable of the sower sowing the word. And it says in verse 10, the disciples came and said to Jesus, why do you speak to them? Notice, to them. Why do you speak to them in parables? And Jesus answered and said to them, because it has been given to you. See, now there's a distinction. There's the them crowd and there's the you crowd. We want to be part of the you. We want Jesus to talk to you guys, not them. Amen? You want to be on the inside of this, not on the outside. So Jesus says, because it has been given to you to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven, but to them it has not been given. For whoever has, to him will be more will be given, and he will have abundance. But whoever does not have, even what he has, will be taken away from him. Therefore I speak to them in parables, because seeing they do not see, and hearing they do not hear, nor do they understand. Now, we asked this question last week. What distinguishes the disciples from the rest of the crowd? What distinguishes you from them? What is it that divides? Because even Jesus is saying, there's a division. I'm speaking to them in parables because they have ears but don't hear. They have eyes, but they don't see. And the disciples are going, huh? My immediate reaction is, well, the disciples don't hear or see any better than them. You know, they're all in the same boat. But now listen, we're going to get into this in a little bit. But listen, Jesus is talking about that whatever you have, more will be given. Well, what do they have that the others don't have? They've got ears to hear. They at least are following Jesus. They don't understand everything going on. They don't know from A to Z, but they know enough. Jesus, we're going to follow you. Remember in John chapter 6 when Jesus says, you've got to eat my flesh and drink my blood, and everybody said, he's talking about cannibalism. This guy's nuts. This guy's a kook. We're leaving here. And that was the first church split in history because multitudes left him. And I love the Bible, and Jesus says, he turned around to the disciples. Now, you can argue whether there was 70, whether there was 12, but probably no more than 70. And Jesus turned to the disciples, are you going to go too? And I love Peter's response. Peter was just such a bold man. He says, we don't have any place else to go where they preach the Word of God. It's like, we think you're probably nuts too, but you're telling us things that nobody else is saying. And it resonates within us. It's bearing witness in me. It's like when I say, God is good, it either resonates on the inside of you, yes, he is, or you go, no, 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 and you put up the cross and, you know, try to keep the vampires away. But Jesus was saying, you got to eat my flesh and drink my blood. And he said, Jesus, we don't have a clue what you're talking about, but there's something going on, and we're going to listen to you. And they stayed with him. They had ears to hear. Now, that doesn't mean just because you have ears to hear, it doesn't mean that you understand everything immediately, but it means if you have ears to hear a little bit that God loves you, that God is for you, that he's not against you, God will add to you. To he has a little, God will add and increase. But if you say, I'm not going to hear that, no, 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 I don't think God's good. God's a punisher. God puts sickness on us to teach us. God does this to teach us. He puts us through hard times to teach us. Well, I tell you, you won't survive hard times if you haven't already trusted in God. Hard times only bring out what is already on the inside of you.
Yeah, that's right.
Isn't that scary?
Yeah.
Because some people that seem like they're paragon virtues of the church, when hard times come, they're the first ones to curse God. Job was a good man. His wife was a support and part of his life and love and everything, and yet she tells Job, curse God and die. You dirty old man, let me get a good husband instead of one like you. Curse God and die. It's like, boy, with support like that, you don't need too many friends, do you? The four friends that came to Job, that most of the time most people quote the four friends rather than Job. Now listen, I've heard faith preachers, and they're quoting the other four. Job is like, well, what did Job say? Well, Job said this, I know my Redeemer lives. Sometimes I don't know if Job had any other clue, but he knew his Redeemer lives. He knew he hadn't sinned. He knew he hadn't betrayed God. He knew, and he refused to back down. And all the time his four friends are saying, you need to repent. You need to put on sackcloth and ashes. And he said, what do I need to repent of? What have I done? They couldn't tell him a thing that he's done. But then he started saying, well, you're just haughty because you don't think you need to repent. He said, I'm ready to repent. I don't know what to repent of. And they couldn't tell him what to repent of. So finally, at the end of Job, when God appears on the scene, he that has ears to hear, let him hear. Who did he reprove? We said, well, Job. Yeah, he told Job, he said, where were you when I laid the foundations of the earth? Where were you? But what did he say to the other four? You don't have a clue what you're talking about. That's what God told the other four. So when you read Job, read the other four and look for religion in what they say. And when Job speaks, listen for a hungry person. A person that has ears to hear. He's just saying, God, talk to me. Lord, if I've done anything wrong in your sight, let me know. Let me know, God. Let me know. Let me know. And finally, God showed up and he spoke to Job. And listen, he even told the others. He says, if Job will offer a sacrifice for you, I might hear him. Wow. Who's offering the sacrifice? He made Job the high priest. He made Job the one that if you offer a sacrifice for the others, I might forgive them. I'll think about it. Boy, how'd you like to be one of those four? Ooh, we've been here telling Job what he did wrong, and we've been telling him all the, and God's exalting Job above us, and he says, if Job gives a sacrifice, he might forgive. We don't even have the assurance. Now, if you have ears to hear, those four had enough to hear that they could have repented and God would have accepted the sacrifice. But Job's sacrifice was to exalt Job, to to show that God still found pleasure in Job, and the other four needed to repent. And if they had ears to hear that, God would forgive them. If they didn't have ears to repent and they continued to walk in their own self-righteousness, God wouldn't forgive them. They'd still be in their sins, still be caught, still be trapped. That's for free. He says to the disciples, because it has been given to you to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven, but to them it has not been given. God, if you have ears to hear, God can increase your hearing. He can increase your understanding. If you have eyes to see, he'll let you see more. He'll give you more understanding, more insight, more wisdom, more of whatever you need. He'll give you more. If you trust God in the little things, he'll entrust to you large things. That's why many Christians don't have wealth, because they can't be trusted in the small things yet. Okay, moving on. So Jesus says in Matthew 13:12, whoever has ears to hear, to him more will be given. Now listen, the disciples had chosen to hear. The fact that they were walking with Jesus, they had made the decision, I'm going to choose to hear, and yet they still didn't understand everything. And Jesus had to explain things to them. So just because you've made the decision to hear doesn't mean you understand everything, but it means you have the opportunity to understand more, and you can grow. Faith is a progression. We grow from faith to faith. We go from glory to glory. You don't get it all at once. You get all of God at once, but we've got to train our heart, train our soul to hear and to respond to God. Debbie said it in Sunday school this morning. The Hebrews says you can even train your flesh to discern good and evil. But you've got to train it, because it'll always go the way that is the easiest to go. See, hearing is not a one-time event. It is a pattern, a consistency to develop in our life, to hear what the Spirit is saying to us. If we have ears that desire to hear, to understand, God will give you more. And God will add to you because you are already paying attention. If you're not paying attention, you can't hear more. Think about a child when the parent instructs them, don't ride your bicycle down that street because it's too dangerous. The cars don't have room to get over. They don't have a way to get around you. You know, don't do that. And the kid says, why does my mom know? I'm not paying attention. And then they go out and ride on that street, and they wiggle much, or a car isn't expecting a bike, and all of a sudden they hit the child and say, oh, why did God allow this to happen? I'm not trying to be mean or be cruel, but the child wasn't paying attention. If the child would have paid attention, they wouldn't go on that street. The very fact that they're there is a sign of rebellion. To not hear is a choice and an act of rebellion. Rebellion is like witchcraft. What we know now, God can add to. But if we stop hearing, even what we have will be taken away from us. When we become self-righteous, self-confident, and refuse to hear, even what we have will be taken from us. If we refuse to hear. And to refuse to hear is an act of your will. It's not just being inattentive. Because you cannot be paying attention to something and somebody will yell fire, well, you heard it. Hello? But I can choose if someone yells fire, oh, what do they know? And I can burn. So even if I'm inattentive, when the right voice comes along, I can hear that voice. See, Jesus said that you will know the voice of my Father. You will know who I am. You will be able to discern these things. We gave you two contrasting scriptures last week. I'm going to look at the second one. In Ezekiel 12:1-2, it says, now the word of Yahweh came to me, saying, son of man, you dwell in the midst of a rebellious house, which has eyes to see but does not see, and ears to hear but does not hear, for they are a rebellious house. He's saying the reason that they can't see or hear, they're in rebellion. Now the Hebrew word for rebellion, there's two words I want to really bring up to you, because they're big words. I like big words. They're fancy words. You can write these down and use them to impress your friends. But one of the definitions is to be refractory. That means stubborn and unmanageable. Have you ever met anybody stubborn and unmanageable? Unmanageable means they're not going to take advice. They're not going to take counsel. They're not going to take direction. You have people showing up at work today. They're unmanageable. You say, well, I need you to turn this bolt on, and this is how you twist that bolt on. And the person says, well, I'm not going to do it that way. Just because you told me to, I'm going to do it my own way. Well, there's only one way to put a bolt on, isn't there? You don't have multiple options. I mean, it goes one way, righty-tighty, lefty-loosey. And say, but I'm going to put it on the other way. I'm going to put it on the way I want. And they'll strip the threads of that bolt. Well, they can't come back to the supervisor and say, you didn't tell me how to put it on right. If this is your fault. No, it's not the supervisor's fault. It's your fault because you chose to do it your way and it didn't work. And you say, well, it's not my fault. Well, whose fault is it? Did you give it out to somebody else to screw the bolt on for you? Well, then you abdicated your position and you ought to be fired. If you refuse to listen, you ought to be fired. You're unmanageable. But it means more than just being unmanageable. It's being unmanageable with an attitude. Who do you think you are to tell me? Just because you got the higher pay grade, just because you've been doing this for 40 years, doesn't mean you can tell me what to do because I know all things. You know, we see that in the world. I've seen it in the church. God talks to me just like he talks to you. Why should I listen to you? Because I've got some experience. I've seen some things. I've been places. You know, when I go to Haiti, I know some missionaries that do this. When they go to Haiti, they tell Pastor Preval what they're going to do, when they're going to do it, and how they're going to do it. Preval says, it won't work that way. Oh, yes, it will. One man I know, he went down there. Praise God, I wasn't with him. But he decided he was going to go to the river. So he went down the river to take a bath. Pastor Preval saw him. He was wearing his shorts and had a towel with him. And he says to him, well, how are you going to the river? He said, I'm going to cut through this field. He said, you can't go through that field. It's not, you can't cut through there. Stuff will happen to you. You can't do it. He said, I'm going to go through the field. You're not going to tell me what to do. I'm going to go through the field. So he went through the field. About halfway through the field, see, it looked like normal crops to us, but it's the type of crop that the leaves would cut you. And they put out a poison that stings, that burns. Halfway through the field, his legs started burning from the cuts, and he just, now he's halfway in. It's not going to stop till he gets out. Well, he ran on down the river. Have you ever run through corn? Corn will cut you if you're not careful. Have you ever run? When you walk slowly, you don't get cut by it because you can push all the leaves out of the way. But if you try to run through a corn, ooh, you're going to get cut because those leaves are sharp. They don't look sharp, but they're sharp. Well, he ran through. Well, the time he got to the river, he had blood on his arms, blood on his legs, and he's stinging. It's really hurting. Well, could he yell at Pastor Preval? Why didn't you tell me? No, Pastor Preval told him. He was rebellious with an attitude. Unmanageable. And I can tell you lots of stories about him because every time he goes down, he does something stupid. He won't listen to instruction. I'm a white guy. I know how to do this. You're a Haitian. You're stupid. You don't know anything. I'll tell you how to do this. No. He wanted to build some churches down there. Preval says, you can't build a church like that. This is how we build them at home. He says, we don't have snow. We have hurricanes. If I build it your way, the hurricane will blow the building down. No, it won't. Pastor Preval tried to tell him, now listen to this. We have building codes in Haiti. Now, you wouldn't know it to walk through, but they do. Because they have earthquakes and they have hurricanes, and you've got to build according to right specifications or the buildings will collapse. You cannot build like you do in Minnesota in Haiti. It won't work. You can't build like you do in West Virginia in Haiti. It won't work. It will collapse. But if you're unmanageable with an attitude, you don't care because you're not concerned whether it works because it'll make me look good if I do it first and fastest and better than anybody else. Well, you may build it faster, and you may build it quicker, but it may not be better. See, our pride gets in the way. Refractory. You don't want to be refractory. I feel like I'm Bill O'Reilly now. You don't want to be refractory. Amen? Now, the other word is contumacy. Now, I don't know if I'm saying that right, but it means a stubborn refusal to submit to authority. And all of these attitudes, they always bring division in the house. They bring division between you and God. They bring division between you and other people. These are not good qualities to have. Now, the second verse, He says, they don't have ears to hear, they don't have eyes to see, because you are in a rebellious house. They've chosen to be unmanageable. They've chosen to be rebellious. They've chosen to refuse to submit to my authority. In Psalm chapter 40, go there with me. Psalm 40, keep your place in Matthew 13. We're coming back. In Psalm 40, starting in verse 6, David, and this is crucial, David wrote this. It says at the top, to the chief musician, a psalm of David. Not all the psalms say that, but this is a psalm of David. He says in Psalm 40, verse 6, sacrifice and offering you did not desire. My ears you have opened. Burnt offerings and sin offering you did not require. Then I said, behold, I come. In the scroll of the book, it is written of me, I delight to do your will, O my God. Your law is within my heart. Now, David had a revelation. Everybody else is offering sacrifice. And David got this revelation from God. You don't really care about sacrifice. What you care about is a willing heart. Isn't that awesome? David got this revelation. Everybody else is going to temple every day. Everybody else is offering sacrifice. Everybody else is bringing their bull before the Lord. Things really haven't changed a whole lot, have they? We still come and bring our bull before the Lord. And we think if we sacrifice the bull, if we do all the religious talking, if we do all the good things in public to be seen by men, that God will reward us. And Jesus warned us, if you do what you do to be seen of men, you have your reward already. But it's not going to be a reward from God. It's going to be just that men think you're nice when you're a liar, when you're nothing but a whitewashed sepulcher. That means a grave that's painted to nice to look out, or painted to look nice outside, but inside is full of dead men's bones, rottenness, decay, death. Now, he says there, my ears you have opened. Strong said, open means to dig or to excavate or to dig through. See, David is saying, God dug my ears open. And I finally heard, because David had a heart that was after God. That's what opened his ears. If you are not willing to consecrate yourself to God, why would Yahweh listen? Or why would Yahweh listen if you speak? If you will not consecrate yourself to God, then when Yahweh talks to you, he's not going to hear. Because you're going to disobey anyway. He won't talk to you. Why should he say anything to you? You're going to disobey him. You're going to do your own thing. So why would Yahweh talk to you if you're going to be rebellious? If you're going to have an attitude, after a while, you know, the Bible talks about Pharaoh, that God hardened Pharaoh's heart. The Hebrew literally means God stopped arguing with Pharaoh and let Pharaoh go whichever way his heart took him. And his heart was filled with pride and would not bend to God. And so finally God had to send the destroyer. Because Pharaoh's heart was so hard, nothing else could get through to him. Think how much different it would have been if Pharaoh would have said, Moses, take your people and go. Worship your God. And here, I'll give you my blessing. I'll give you my covering. I'll be with you. But no, his pride got in the way. He was unmanageable. He wouldn't listen to God. Now, back in Matthew 13, Jesus told the disciples that it had been given to them to know the mysteries of the kingdom of God. They had left their jobs and families to follow Jesus. This was not a soft commitment. They were serious about this. In Matthew, still in Matthew 13, go to verse 12. We'll just start there. He says, for whoever has, to him more will be given, and he will have abundance. But whoever does not have, even what he has will be taken away from him. Therefore, I speak to them in parables, because seeing they do not see, and hearing they do not hear, nor do they understand. And in them the prophecy of Isaiah is fulfilled. Isn't it nice to fulfill prophecy? Well, depends on which prophecy you're fulfilling. So this prophecy of Isaiah says, hearing you will hear and shall not understand, and seeing you will see and not perceive. Remember when Jesus was out and it thundered? God spoke to Jesus, and everybody else says, it thundered. I wonder what's going on. The sky's clear. See, Jesus had ears to hear. Others had ears to hear what the Spirit was saying to Jesus, but others, it was just mumbling. It was just thunder. They couldn't discern anything. They couldn't make anything out of it because they were them. It was those people. It wasn't you. It wasn't us. Amen. He goes on to say in 15, for the heart of this people, the hearts of this people, now listen, have grown dull. Now that means they heard it one time, but their hearts have grown dull. They've grown unresponsive to the will of God. They've grown unresponsive to what God is saying. So now when God talks to them, they're dull. And say, what, did it thunder? Did you hear something? It's amazing. We said this last week, but in this room, however many people there are, this is how many sermons I'm speaking today. And one person will hear one thing and another will hear something else. And it all comes down to what you pay attention to. If you hear correctly, you'll get blessed. If you get mad at me, you're refractory. So what did he say? Anyway, moving on. He says, their ears are hard of hearing, their eyes their eyes have closed. Now, who would want to walk around in broad daylight with their eyes shut? He said, well, they're an idiot. I agree. Their eyes, they have closed. Lest they should see with their eyes and hear with their ears, lest they should understand with their hearts and turn so that I should heal them. God's saying to them in Isaiah, if you would have ears to hear, if you would have eyes to see, if you would just begin to seek after me, I will heal you. I will get you out of the problem that you're in. But if you refuse to do it, this is what you get, what you already have. See, Jesus said, I have said it this way, I have come to seek and save the lost. So I didn't come to judge. I didn't come to condemn. I came to show the light. And those that see the light, those that hear the things of God, I'll heal you. I'll get you out of the problem you're in. I'll deliver you from the situation. No matter how bad it looks, Jesus is saying, I'll get you out. But if you just close your ears and get rebellious, get refractory, then what you get is what you get. And there's nothing he can do for you, although he wants to. Now, let me just read this to you. It's from Jeremiah chapter 17, verses 5 and 6. But the Lord said, cursed is the man who trusts in the Lord, in man. Cursed is the man who trusts in man and makes flesh his strength, whose heart departs from the Lord, for he shall be like a shrub in the desert and shall not see when good comes, but shall inhabit the parched places in the wilderness, in a salt land which is not inhabited. He says he will not see when good comes. Not see. Isn't that a bad state to be in? God is sending good our way, but we don't see it. We aren't even aware of it. How many opportunities have passed us up that we didn't even see? Well, you know, I've never had a chance to do anything different than what I've done. Well, first of all, it's probably because you didn't see them. Because the Bible says, time and chance come to all. Ecclesiastes, I think. Time and chance come to all. So I can guarantee you right now, you've had time and you've had chance to get out of your spot. But every time we're refractory, God's got to go back to the beginning. He's got to start working all over again to get you into a place where he can speak to where you can hear. But if we choose to be rebellious, opportunity will come and pass us by and we won't even be aware of it. That's where a lot of people disguise their theology. Well, this must be the will of God for me because he's never done anything different. Ooh, he sent Jesus. He's called Savior for a reason. Hello? He's called Savior for a reason. Now, go back to Matthew 13, verse 16. Now, after all these things, Jesus is talking to his disciples. He says in 16, but blessed are your ears for they hear, blessed are your eyes for they see, and your ears for they hear. He says, this is what Isaiah is saying. These are the things that they've closed their ears have grown dull, they've closed their eyes. But he says, but blessed are your eyes for they see. And I'm sure that the disciples are saying, Jesus, what do we see? And when he says, you have ears to hear And he goes, okay, what we just hear? See, they don't have it all together, but they've got the desire. Lead me into the truth. Show me the things that I need to know, God. Lord, let me walk in your ways. Direct my... This is why the Bible says the Lord is a light to our path and he directs our feet. Well, he's the light, but sometimes you don't see the light. Sometimes you're just in darkness. And praise God, he will still direct our feet if we'll let him. He'll still get you to the right destination if you just don't fight him, if you just don't struggle against him, if when God says to do something that you step out and you do it, God will still lead you to the right place because you want to be in the right place. Because your desire is to please God. Amen. 17, for assuredly I say to you that many prophets and righteous men desired to see what you see and did not see it, and to hear what you hear and did not hear it. Therefore, hear the parable of the sower. He's saying, I showed the apostles and the prophets this time that you're walking in, but they didn't get to see it or hear it in the natural, but they saw it in the spirit. They heard it in the spirit. Remember Jesus said about Abraham, he saw my day and rejoiced in it. Wow. Job, I know my Redeemer lives. Don't tell me Job didn't have a revelation of the Messiah. Because that's the only thing he had to hang on to. I know my Redeemer lives. Sometimes you're in a spot that's so deep, it's so dark around you, that all you know is I know my Redeemer lives. And if you don't give up on that, God can bring you out. As long as you have that faith and that confidence, God, regardless of what's going on, my Redeemer lives and he will not be silent forever. He'll get you out of the spot you're in. But you've got to understand, my Redeemer lives. He's not dead. He's not on vacation. He's not absent on without leave. He is an ever-present help in time of trouble. Amen. See, Jesus says, more blessed are your eyes. Well, because they see. Well, what do they see? Now get this isn't real complicated. They saw the goodness of God. They heard the goodness of God. How many times have you tried to give somebody good news? Well, I just don't believe in that stuff. I remember years ago, we got a report that one of our neighbors had cancer. And I went to him and talked to him because they were believers. They were Christians. And we talked to her. And I said, here, you know, I don't know where you are with whatever and with healing and stuff like that. But I said, do you know that God wants you to be healed? Well, you know, whatever. It's up to him. And she's a wonderful lady, beautiful person. She's with the Lord. Because she couldn't believe in the goodness of God. She could die and go to heaven, and that's not a bad thing. But she couldn't believe in his goodness for now. That God would be good to her now. She had already received the doctor's report. You have cancer, and it's serious. Well, you've got to choose which report am I going to hear. And if you want to go home and be with the Lord, listen, it's okay. But you're robbing the rest of us of a testimony of the goodness of God and his faithfulness. If you're going to go, just say, hey, guys, I'm going home. Jesus said, it's my life to lay down or pick up again. He said, no man takes my life from me. I believe you can have the same chance, the same opportunity. I believe you can live like Jesus lived. My life is mine. No man, no cancer, no sickness, no disease is going to take my life. When I get satisfied, I'll go home. Not a moment before. So one of these Sundays when I'm preaching, we give the altar call, and I say amen, and I drop, I am satisfied. Because that's how, if I have a choice in the matter, that's how I want to go. I want to go being about my Father's business. Amen. I want to do those things that are pleasing to him. But then Jesus goes on. He says, you have ears. Blessed are your eyes for they see and your ears for they hear. And then in 18 he says, therefore listen, hear the parable of the sower. Hear the parable of the sower. Now let me just read this through real quick. I know I'm over, but let me go through this real quick. When anyone hears the word of the kingdom, verse 19, and does not understand it, then the wicked one comes and snatches away what was sown in his heart. That is he who receives seed by the wayside. But he who received the seed on stony places, this is he who hears the word and immediately receives it with joy. Yet he has no root in himself, but endures only for a while. For when tribulation or persecution arises because of the word, notice why these things come. It's because of the word of God. It's not because of your sin. It's not because you have missed it. It's not because you blew it. But it's because you have heard the word of God, and immediately persecution and tribulation come. He says, when they arise because of the word, immediately he stumbles. Now, 22, now he who received seed among the thorns is he who hears the word. Notice they're all hearing. They heard the word, and the cares of this world, the deceitfulness of riches, choke the word, and he becomes unfruitful. But, oh, I like that word every now and then. But he who received the seed on the good ground is he who hears the word and understands it, who indeed bears fruit and produces some 100, some 60, and some 30. What was the difference in the ground? They all heard. What was the difference in the ground between the stony, the wayside, and the thorns? What was the difference? The good ground heard and received the word of God. When they received it, it began immediately to produce. Lord, your word be done for me. Lord, I'm going to trust your word. Only speak your word and it'll be done. Isn't that what the centurion said? Only speak the word. I don't need anything more. Only speak the word. It'll be done. I'm a man under authority. I understand authority. God, you speak the word and it will be done. Those who heard and received the word immediately began to bear fruit. Some 30. 30 is better than what you've got, isn't it? 30-fold. Some 60. Wow. They really got blessed. Some 100-fold. Why do some Christians seem to prosper when others aren't? Because it's all based on hearing and receiving. He who has ears to hear, let him hear what the Spirit is saying to the church. If you're refractory, if you're stubborn, unmanageable, particularly with an attitude, you'll probably, the thorns, the stony ground, the birds of the air will pick up the word of God, and you say, well, see, it never worked anyway. But if you hear and receive, God says, you'll be blessed. You'll be blessed. It'll work for you. The word works for you. Amen. Amen. Romans 10 says it this way. They have not all obeyed the gospel, for Isaiah says, Yahweh, who has believed our report? So then, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. You want to increase your faith? Increase your hearing. Increase your ability to come before the Lord. Say, Lord, not my will, but your will be done. Jesus gave us examples all through his life. Lord, your word be done. Your will be done. Your kingdom come on earth, even as it is in heaven. I tell you, we have not even begun to understand the Lord's prayer. Lord, your will be done. Not my will, your will be done. Where? When we all die and go to heaven? No, in the earth. Why is God so concerned about his kingdom coming in the earth? Because that's where you live for now. When you get to heaven, he won't talk to you about the earth anymore. He won't need to. But he talks to you in your situation. And as long as you're in the earth, he's going to talk to you about earthly things. And remember Jesus made the comment, if you don't believe me about natural things, how will you believe me when I tell you about spiritual things? We need to start taking this word seriously. We need to have ears to hear, which means receiving what God has spoken to us. Amen. Let's stand. Now, I've got to do it this way because of the meal for Pastor's Appreciation that's coming. So I'm going to pray for us and dismiss us, and I'm also going to include in that prayer over the meal, because that way we can go and fellowship together. Which is Christian code for pig out. Amen. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you. Lord, we thank you that we are not like them. But God, you've given us ears. And Father, we make the choice, we make the decision to hear what the Spirit is saying to us. Lord, help us to pay attention. Help us to be aware of your great goodness toward those who believe. And Father, bring us up in the ways, in your ways, that we could grow, Lord, that your word would produce in us 30, 60, 100 fold, even more, Father. That we would walk in your blessings all the days of our life. God, that others would see your goodness to us and rejoice because the same goodness is available for them. We thank you, Father, for these things. Father, we pray for the meal that we're about to receive. We pray for the fellowship. We thank you, God, for all those that have contributed to the preparation of the food financially or materially or in the cooking and all the other things. God, we ask you to bless them this day. Bless our time together in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. God bless you.